Spirit, we invite you to come and take these words and speak to us through them. I ask now in Jesus' name. Please be seated. A pastor finally gets the opportunity to speak in a large community gathering, and he's so proud of the fact that he's been asked that when the person who has the honorarium comes to him and gives him the check, he says, no, it was just my honor to speak. Maybe you could use this check for some other worthy purpose. And the man said, well, we do actually have a fund that we can put this check into if you would like. And the pastor said, well, what fund is that? And the guy said, it's a fund so that we can hire a better speaker next year. Well, there are all sorts of occasions that we pastors have to be humbled. And it's certainly true of those of us who were born in Texas, because we're not always known as in Texas for our great humility. There was a Texan and a Wisconsin dairy farmer who were talking one time, and the dairy farmer said, you know, I have a ranch that has 125 acres on it for my dairy farm. And the Texan said, hey, that's nothing. I mean, in my ranch, I can get in my truck in the morning and drive, and I won't reach the fence line of my property until sunset. The dairy farmer said, yeah, I had a truck like that one time myself. Well, certainly, I want to talk this morning about humility. And I want to focus on our second lesson from the book of Philippians today. So if you get your bulletins out and find that second lesson from Philippians chapter 2, one of the hallmarks of the Christian faith is the virtue of humility. Humility really is in short supply in our world today. And I remember seeing a t-shirt a while back that said this, it's hard to be humble when you know you're great. Well, certainly there's a lack of humility in many corners of our world today, and Paul addresses that in our lesson from Philippians today when he writes these words. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Paul is writing to the Philippian church, addressing really a problem that is common in some churches, and that is the problem of disunity. A disunity is not always something that happens because someone intentionally does that, but it often happens because we take our minds, our spiritual eyes off of Jesus, and begin to focus only on what we want. And certainly, Paul is saying to the church members here that if you're really acting like a Christian, if you're really walking in the Spirit, if the Spirit is guiding you, then you'll be doing those things that will result in the health and benefit of the church. Now, Paul, the important thing about the church is the proclamation of the gospel, spreading the gospel to those outside of the church, and also for the building up of the members of the church by helping them to grow in the knowledge and love of the Lord. And he says that can only happen as the church is unified and working together for a common purpose. So in verse 3, he shares what that purpose looks like. He says, or the achieving of that purpose looks like. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interests of the others. So the apostle is talking here about valuing other people above ourselves. We show humility by looking for ways to encourage and build each other up. We show our love for the others by seeking to help them in any way that we can. It's really looking out for the interests of others and being concerned for their interests. Value is the verb that's used here, and it means more than just having an opinion. It means a careful, thought-out conclusion based on the truth. It does not mean that we pretend that others are more important than we are, but it actually means that we really consider others to be more important. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 4. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness. With patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Perhaps the best way to approach this seemingly impossible task of placing the interests of others above ourselves, can be seen in by us looking at our own sinfulness, our own sins in our lives. Pastor John MacArthur said one time, believers know far more about their own hearts than about the heart of anyone else. Recognizing the sinfulness of their hearts should exclude any boastful self-exaltation. If Paul himself viewed himself as the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle, and the very least of all saints, and even the foremost of sinners, then how could any believer honestly think of themselves in any higher way? End quote. Dr. Harry Ironside was a famous pastor and well-known speaker in Chicago, and he one time was convicted of his lack of humility. So a friend of his suggested that he put on a sandwich board and walk throughout the streets of Chicago proclaiming the scripture verses that were written on the sandwich board. And he thought if he did that, that would kind of cure his lack of humility. And so he did so, and he went throughout the streets of Chicago quoting these scriptures that were on the board that he was wearing. And after he finished, he went back to his office and he took off the sandwich board and he said, I bet there's not another man in town who would do what I just did. Well, obviously he didn't quite learn the message of humility yet. And yet, if you think about it, all of us are called as Christians to humble ourselves. But I found that if I don't humble myself, God will often do that for me. And so there are ways that God will humble us, and certainly that if we're humbled by God, then that's not quite as painful if we allow it to be that way. I love what Peter writes in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up, that he may exalt you, that he may provide for you in due time, casting all of your cares on him, for he cares for you. And so as we humble ourselves, God opens the door for then blessings to come our way. And that we see that exhibited, for example, in the life of Booker T. Washington. Many of you may know of Booker T. Washington, who was a black educator. He was the founder of the Tuskegee Institute. And one day he was walking in the more exclusive part of the town, and a white woman came up to him and said, would you like to earn a few extra bucks by chopping some wood for me? And he didn't have anything else to do, so he said, sure. And he went to her home, and so he chopped the wood, and then he stacked it up very neatly by her fireplace. And as he was leaving, her daughter came out of her room and recognized that this was Booker T. Washington. But she didn't say anything to her mother. And so after Washington left, then she told her mother who it was, and she was humiliated. She was embarrassed, and she went the next day to his office at the Institute, and she apologized profusely. And Booker T. Washington said to her, it's okay, perfectly all right, madam. Occasionally I enjoy a little manual labor. Besides, it's always a delight to do something for a friend. She shook his hand warmly and really came to the understanding that this man, in his meek and gracious attitude, had really endeared himself to her, as well as the work that he was doing. He made such an impact on her that she gathered a number of her wealthy friends, and they all made significant donations to his institute. So as he humbled himself, he was exalted, he was lifted up. And God says that's what happens to us as we seek to act in humility toward others. And of course, the greatest example of humility is seen in Jesus Christ himself. Jesus was God who had existed from all eternity with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But in the fullness of time, it says Jesus put aside all the rights and privileges that went along with being God and became a human being. Born in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and then he grew up as a human being. And during his life on earth, he submitted himself to his Father in heaven. He was humble before his Father, and he showed his ultimate humility by being willing to die for the sins of the world on the cross. Paul writes this way in our letter from Philippians in verse 5. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. So Jesus, who could have easily avoided the cross, who could have easily conquered all of those who were his enemies, instead humbled himself and was willing to die for the sins of the world on the cross. Jesus said this about himself in John chapter 15. Greater love has no one than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. And so Jesus indicated that he was putting his needs below our needs. He was raising up our needs above his own needs in order for us to be able to achieve salvation. That's one of the greatest examples of humility that we've ever seen. Let us pray. I want to offer a prayer this morning, really, that is a prayer asking for God's help to us to reach that place of true humility in our lives. Merciful Father, your truth runs counter to our self-exalting world. Humble service is the path to kingdom greatness. This truth isn't weak or foolish as the world would think, but is a blessed and honorable gospel garment donned by those who fear you, the one who exalts the humble and brings down the proud. Oh, let the entire world would live in humility before you and each other. While I aspire a life of godly humility, the pull of pride seems too strong to overcome. I so often desire to sit on your throne instead of bowing before you as the only true sovereign and holy God. I think highly of myself and my accomplishments and forget that I am a man made of dust who at best can be called a servant of a great God. I even diminish the offense of pride by holding it lightly, forgetting that pride cast Satan from your presence and brought the corruption of your creation. O Lord, rescue me from the foolish pride and help me learn from you, your gentle and humble heart. Gracious Father, reprogram my soul with your word to remember the world is all about Jesus and not myself. Help me not to think more highly of myself than I ought, but to delight in regarding others as more important. Rescue me from the self-deception of pride by giving me a realistic view of my life, talents, and relationship with you, always looking to the cross, which reveals both the wrath I deserve and your costly grace. In my battle against pride, keep me from a false humility that fails to recognize your gracious gifts. Rather, help me steward what you have given me as a faithful servant, a servant ready to wear the garment of humility and serve you in whatever way would most help your kingdom and bring praise to your name. Lord, your Son left the pleasure of heaven for a life of service on earth, and he gave his life for undeserving and ungrateful people. Help me have his attitude, remembering that you oppose the proud and give grace to the humble. You must become greater, I must become less. Only then does the glorious reality shine forth that Christ is highly exalted above every name in heaven and on earth. May my entire being bow before you in loving allegiance, confessing you as Lord over all of my life and all of creation, to the praise of your glory. Amen.